is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
You alone in here, Nancy?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, I was just looking around at the old books and the old furniture, David. Everything old.
Well, quite a few generations have lived in this house.
Yeah.
Come on, Sparkplug, the party's over. I think your family's leaving now.
I hope so.
Now, wait a minute. This is a big Thanksgiving family wingding. Didn't you have fun?
I had a ball.
So did I. Isabel went all out to make this something special. First big party in the old Wakefield house or something like that.
It was very nice of her.
It's like that, huh?
Oh, look, David. Big family dues like this just lock me in. Sort of like a closet. Oh, I just want to get out. I can't seem to breathe.
Well, you could if you stopped talking, honey. I was flattered to be invited.
You know why you were?
Go on, deflate my ego.
Because everybody expects you to marry Kate.
They're wrong. I'm going to marry Isabel.
Marry Aunt Isabel? You can't. She's twice your age.
If you're going to say silly things, so am I. Come on, time to go home.
Will you drive me home?
Sure. I'm taking Faye home. We'll drop you on the way.
Oh, now I'm really in orbit.
You know, you are going to get hold of the wrong guy someday and get into trouble with these come-ons.
Wouldn't it be devastating? David, why didn't Kate come home for Thanksgiving?
She went up to Maine with a friend.
Well, that's what everybody said, to see Trudy's grandfather or something. But come on, David.
If Kate said she was going to Maine, she's in Maine.
Okay. Do you think she went off to mend her broken heart?
What?
Oh, I picked up on the scuttlebutt. Tony Cushing is married, and I think it's divine. She could have him in no sweat, you know, no commitments or anything, just free.
You don't even know what the word means.
What word?
Free. Nobody's free, honey. If you've got a job or a family or you love somebody, bingo, there goes a little freedom.
I've heard all that.
Yeah, but you kids talk about freedom like a milkshake. Just drink it down and you feel better.
I wish Kate had come. Then I'd have someone to talk to.
Thanks for nothing. Now let's go, Sparkplug.
Hey, David. If I don't get a good job pretty soon, something meaningful that really involves me, I'm...
And get paid, too?
I mean it. I'm just going to bolt this town and go back to the city and live. Mom and Dad can worry as much as they please.
Oh, no, Nancy, we're not going to do that.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Look, I'll make a deal. I'll take you to lunch on Monday, and we'll talk it out.
Will you?
Now I'll get your coat.
Oh, David, you've made my Thanksgiving. Oh, I'll get it. Hello, Wakefield residence. Kate! Hey, David, wait. It's Kate. Kate, where are you? Seaport, where's that? Oh, yeah, we had a marvelous Thanksgiving. Everybody was here, and everybody talked about you. Hey, are you having a ball? Are you, with somebody?
Let me take that phone now.
David's dying to talk to you, Kate. Although he knows his cause is lost.
Oh, for Pete's sweet sake, go get your coat. Oh. Hello, Kate. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, great. Yeah, great, but we missed you. Yeah, I'll bet you did. Sure, I know where you are. I'm not asking why. If you want to go out to that island, it's your business. But you weren't alone today. Fog? Oh, great. Oh, Isabel's coming. I just wanted to say hello. Now, don't get lost in that fog. Bye, Kate.
Hey, is she okay?
I hope so.
She didn't sound it. Hey, Aunt Isabel. Hey, it's Kate. She's waiting to talk to you.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Just a little kick.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can, with Finalmet. Finalmet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalmet holds up longer than you do.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
No, Isabel, the connection isn't very good, but I can hear you. Yeah, we have a lot of fog up here. Hey, I'm glad your Thanksgiving party was so great. I knew it would be. I'm here with the Wheelers. They've been very kind. I'll be back soon, don't worry. No, I'm fine, honestly. Bye-bye, Isabel.
Oh, you get hold of your folks, Kate?
Yes, Aunt Isabel. She was Tom's aunt. She had a big Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, dear. Too bad you weren't there.
Well, I really had to come up here, Ruth.
Well, you gave us a happy day.
Now, let's finish those dishes.
Oh, they're all in the machine and the pots will wait. Well, I'm going to sit down for a spell and get my breath.
Has Ben gone out?
Oh, he might be lying down on the sofa. No, he isn't. Well, I guess he's gone. He gets restless in the house.
Ruth, he will take me over to Gull Island tomorrow, won't he?
Well, sure he will. Now, that's what you came up here for. Now, you got the key to the cottage.
I thought he'd take me over this morning.
Well, the fog was heavier then, but...
But he went by himself.
Oh, I guess he wanted to make sure everything is all right. He's mighty serious about looking after that cottage of yours.
He said that.
He thought a lot of your husband. Oh, what a lovely young couple you were when you come up here. Now, look, young lady, don't you hang around this house. Fog's lifting, and you take a nice walk down along the water while it's still light.
But Ben will run me out to Gull Island tomorrow.
But sure he will,
well,
Kate.
Because if he doesn't want to...
Now, why wouldn't he want to?
I don't know. But if he really doesn't, I'll go down to the boatyard and hire an outboard.
Oh,
I used to run one all the time when Tom and I were up here.
Now, you're not going out across that water by yourself at this time of year. And I'll see to that. Don't you fret.
All right, I won't. I'll be back soon. Oh, look, the fog is lifting. It's getting all silvery out there. Oh, Tom and I used to love this time of day.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Wakefield.
Hello, Joey. Did you have enough turkey?
You bet. Boy, some meal. What are you doing down here?
Looking around. Nothing's changed, has it?
Sure. Pickens bait stand is gone. And there's a new fish factory up past the channel.
Are you going to be a fisherman when you finish school?
Not around here. You know what I'd like to do? Go somewhere and design boats. Sailboats. Mr. Wakefield said I'd be good at it.
You would, Joey. So why not?
Maybe if he'd have lived, I might. He taught me everything about a boat. How to come about smooth when you're tacking, and how to cross the starting line right on the gun.
All the more reason for going on.
Yeah. I guess so.
Joey, I'd like to thank you for carrying my bag over to the Wheelers yesterday when I got here.
Oh, it was nothing.
You know, you said something to me that I didn't understand.
What was that?
About going over to Gull Island.
What'd I say?
You said you didn't think I ought to.
Did I say that?
You said it a couple of times.
Well, the fog was settling in pretty bad then.
Well, it isn't now. Look, I can see the outline of the island. There's the point.
Yep. It's coming through.
You know, I bet I'll be able to see the roof of the cottage there on the point in a minute.
Maybe.
It's going to be a nice day tomorrow.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Joey, would you run me over tomorrow in your motorboat?
Who, me?
Of course, if you're busy.
It's not that, but... Well, I thought Ben was going to do that.
Ben's been too busy. Maybe he will be tomorrow.
I don't know, Mrs. Wakefield.
Well, suppose I come down early right here to the dock. You be here if you can. At the regular rate, $3, isn't it?
Well, I'll see.
If you're not, I'll get Hank Peterson to rent me an outboard.
You mean you'd go out to Gaul alone?
Joey, I used to be the best hand with an outboard around these parts, don't you remember?
Yeah.
So, I'd like your company, but...
You oughtn't go out there alone, Mrs. Wakefield.
Why not?
I can't say.
Joey, what's out there? Why don't you or Ben want me to go?
You'll have to ask Ben.
I'm asking you, Joey. Why won't you tell me?
Of Love has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Ladies, gentlemen, yet another chapter of Vanity Fair. But your slipshod, mindless author neglected to report a matter of some importance which should have been reported in the chapter before. It took place in advance of Becky Sharp's departure from the house in Park Lane to meet the fictitious Gordy Kiner. Recall, do you, Miss Arabella Briggs? Miss Crawley's companion and friend? Well, recall, too, please, that I said correctly that she was more servant than companion, more lackey than friend. Now, during Miss C's absence in the country, Briggs has been visiting her third cousin once removed, but upon hearing of her dear friend's illness, how she did cry out.
Oh, woe, and at last I must hasten home and fly to her couch. The couch that I have so often soothed in the hour of sickness.
Imagine, if you can, Briggs' bewilderment when Miss Crawley declined to see her. A stranger from the country was administering the invalid's medicines. In the parlor, in an agony of grief, Briggs buried her crushed affections and poor red nose in her pocket handkerchief. And who
but Becky Sharp comes to comfort her.
My dear Miss Briggs, pray don't take on so.
My dearest friend so ill and won't see me.
Surely you know sick people have these fancies and must be humored. She's not very ill anymore. Soon she'll be quite restored again and ask for you.
And why won't she see me now?
Oh, she's weak from being cupped and so many medicines. She hardly knows what she's saying. But she'll rally and be quite herself, which she's not now, or she would receive you. Pray console yourself and take a little wine.
Thank you, Miss
Sharp. I will pour it for you.
Matilda, Matilda, after 10 years of tenderness, is this the return to your poor, poor Arabella?
Poor Arabella, your wine.
Thank you.
She only won't see you because she's grown accustomed to my nursing. I assure you it's no pleasure to me to sit up all night. I dearly wish you might do it instead.
Have I not tended that dear couch for years? But 'tis you she wants.
It's as I said. Sick people have strange fancies. When she's well, I shall go.
Never, never.
Never be well or never go. Oh, pooh. She'll be well in a fortnight. I shall go back to my little pupils at Queen's Crawley and to their mother, who is a great deal more ill than our friend.
But a stranger has taken my place in the affections of my dearest... my still dearest friend.
My dear Miss Briggs, you need not be jealous of me. I'm but a poor girl without any friends or any harm in me. I don't want to supplant you in Miss Crawley's good graces.
You don't?
Oh, she will forget me in a week after I'm gone, and her affection for you has been the work of years. Now, we will have a glass of wine together, and do let us be friends. Oh, I do need friends, dear Miss Briggs.
So, Becky woos Miss Briggs, and the soft-hearted Briggs, at Becky's appeal, put out her hand in a clasp of friendship. Whereupon, upstairs went Becky to her patient's room, where she gave Miss Crawley a perfect imitation of Briggs, her weeping snuffles, her manner of using the handkerchief, her wailing over the fickleness of her friend, were all so completely rendered that Miss C laughed heartily and cheerfully allowed Becky to depart to meet her Gordy, a matter which we next shall address ourselves. Private Timothy Hooton, chosen by Rawdon to impersonate Gordy Kiner, at first consented, then rejected. He could not, to quote Mr. Shakespeare, plunge into that quicksand of deceit. And then, enter Miss Becky Sharp, the look of her, the sound of her. And what were Hooton's first words?
I am Gordy Kiner, ma'am, and I am your most obedient servant.
Our Becky has made yet another conquest, and now begins the schooling of Private Hooton, while Rawdon looks on.
Today, I shan't call you Private Hooton at all, and you're to call me Becky. We must be easy in those names so we make no mistake tomorrow with Miss Crawley.
Right, Miss Becky.
Oh, not Miss, only Becky. And you must learn to say pretty things like, my darling, my love.
I say, Becky, that's going a bit far.
He must, Rawdon, he truly must. Your auntie is very romantic. She'll not like Gordy if he's a stick.
Don't need to like him, only see him.
Dear heart, should she dislike him, she'll make it impossible for me to leave the house to meet him.
Him? Me?
Of course, my love. Now, Gordy, we must think of this as a charade. You've acted charade?
Many times, Becky, my darling. Look here, Hooton. No need for pet names till tomorrow.
Rawdon. Now, Gordy, I plan to answer the door when you come, and we shall go straight upstairs to Miss Crawley.
Whatever you say, ma'am.
No, not ma'am. Should you name me that in front of her, at once you'll be suspicious.
I'll not make that mistake again. Becky, when we go upstairs, do we...
But my dearest, you'll not be there.
What?
You don't know my Gordy. You told your auntie that.
Know him now? Who is arranging leave for him to go to Aunt Matilda at all? Told her that, too.
Oh, so you did. I forgot. Oh, well, all the same, it will be most awkward if you're there. You'll look at me the way you're not supposed to look. Or you'll get angry when he holds my hand.
Hold your hand? I say,
Hold hands, do we?
I say, why does this counterfeit fellow have to hold your hand?
Your Aunt Matilda will expect it.
Damn me, I don't expect it.
Oh, dearest, do be good. Now, do let us get on with rehearsing.
Get on with it, then.
Ah. Now, we are upstairs. I will say, Miss Crawley, this is my Gordy.
Pleasure, Miss Crawley. And may I say how sorry I am to hear you are in poor health.
Very good.
Not so damn good.
Oh, hush, darling. Now, Gordy, don't be frightened if she stares at you and asks embarrassing questions. I'm sure she'll say, young man, do you love Rebecca?
I love her with all my heart and soul, Miss Crawley.
Oh, how clever you are. The right answer, exactly.
Gad.
La, I've told her you're shy to spare you from having to talk very much. But I do believe you're not shy at all. Quite forward.
Too damn forward.
Rawdon, please.
Becky, where did you and I meet?
Meet?
She may ask it.
Oh, you are clever. She's never asked me, but may well ask you. We met, dear, where?
Here, just now. I have it. We were sitting in Hyde Park one day. You dropped your handkerchief. I picked it up. We looked into each other's eyes and we know.
Dear cranky Rawdon, what am I to do with you? We had to meet somewhere and Hyde Park will do nicely.
Didn't have to look into each other's eyes.
Then how were we to fall head over teacup in love?
You didn't.
We did.
Look here. That's enough of your cheek. More than enough.
Sorry, sir. Charades, that's all. Charades.
Rawdon, I've to be back at your auntie's bedside by 4. You must let us finish.
Finish, then. Sooner the better.
Thank you, my darling. Gordy, do you know of my music box?
I believe the captain gave you one.
No, you gave it me.
That's a damn lie.
Oh, dear. Gordy, Miss Crawley is bound to speak of it.
I'll know what to say, Becky.
Yes, I believe you will. I'm not in the least worried about a little charade tomorrow, but Rawdon, my only love, only do you hear... You are certainly not to be there, or all is quite, quite lost. If you can't be civil today, what would you be tomorrow?
Crazed is what I'll be. There are not, but by gad, Becky, this impostor, this wolf in sheep's clothing is never to see you again. Understood, Private Hooton?
Yes, sir, Captain. Understood.
Oh, oh, oh. What does the future hold for a jealous guardsman and a minx with whom every poor, dazzled chap falls in love? Monday, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, I do profoundly hope. Now, as then, I am your most devoted William Makepeace Thackeray. Been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oseeder makes your life easier.
And Maggie, do you
you know where the paring knives are? I can't find a one.
No, I don't. I was looking for them myself. I wanted to scrape the carrots. I can't find that small saucepan either.
I can't find anything. Honestly, everybody insisted on helping with dishes yesterday.
Clara was putting away.
I know she was. She kept saying, where does this go? And I'd tell her, but she didn't seem to put anything in the right place.
Well, what are we having tonight?
Turkey a la king, I guess. I never realized there'd be so much left over. You know, that's one thing I don't like about Thanksgiving, the aftermath of turkey hash, turkey salad, turkey soup, you know.
Freeze some of it.
Yes, I think I will. Oh.
Hi.
Hi, Evie. Come on in, dear.
Hello, Evie.
Hi.
How was your Thanksgiving yesterday?
Oh, too many people, too much food, and too many dishes. I was still doing dishes at midnight.
Didn't anybody help?
No. Fred doesn't think guests should have to do dishes.
Guests? Hmm. Weren't they relatives?
Oh, my two sisters and their families. And I think they always come to our house for Thanksgiving just because they know they won't have to do dishes.
Everybody helped here, but now Aunt Maggie and I can't find anything. Oh, here's the egg beater. Why would Aunt Clara put it in here with a fry pan?
Well, anyway, I was so exhausted, I was hysterical, since Fred never helps with the dishes either. And for once, I think he was ashamed of himself.
Did he pitch in and help?
Oh, no, but by that time, I had them done.
Oh.
But guess what?
I don't know. Where'd you put the mushrooms, Aunt Maggie?
Bottom shelf of the refrigerator.
Guess what?
I don't know, Evie, what?
Fred is taking me on a cruise.
A cruise?
Yes, I was really hysterical. I was so tired. And I was complaining about everything, I guess. He never takes me anywhere, you know, that sort of thing. Finally, Fred said, darling, right after Christmas, we'll go on a cruise.
Oh, my goodness, isn't that wonderful?
I was going to come over and tell you this morning, but then I thought I'd wait to see if Fred really meant it.
Did he?
Oh, yes, he just came home and brought all the pamphlets about the trip. I'm so excited I can hardly see Fred.
Where are you going and what ship will you be on?
I don't know, I don't care. Anything, anywhere. Fred's trying to work it all out now, but I just had to dash over before dinner and tell you all about it.
Oh, I think that's wonderful, Amy.
I'll bring all the brochures and things over tomorrow morning and show you, okay?
Fine.
You don't sound very enthusiastic.
Well, you're going, not me.
Okay. Well, I'll see you in the morning.
All right, dear.
Well, how long will you be gone on the cruise?
Oh, just 2 weeks, I guess. We fly down to Florida and pick up the boat there. That much I know. Oh, I can't wait.
I know. Come on over in the morning and show us, baby.
I will.
Well, I must say, you didn't sound very enthusiastic.
Bob? Robert?
Yes?
Can you come here, please? I have some news for you. I'm not only not enthusiastic, Aunt Maggie, I'm pretty mad.
It's not like you to be jealous because Evie's getting a nice trip.
I'm not. She needs it. She really does. It is not that.
Oh, what's the matter?
Fred is taking Evie on a cruise right after Christmas.
A cruise?
A cruise.
Fred?
Fred. Yes. Do you know what those cruises cost? For 2 weeks?
Oh, plenty.
How much?
At least $1,000.
$1,000?
No.
More likely $1,500 or $2,000.
Or $3,000. Where's Fred getting the money?
Oh, my goodness. That's certainly not your problem.
Fred owes Bob over $200.
Oh, it's not that much.
I've kept track. It's 25 here and 50 there. It all adds up to about $200.
Fred will pay it back.
When? I don't know why you never ask him for it.
Oh, look, honey, we live next door. I don't want to start anything.
Oh, it makes me so mad the way Fred gets around you, but...
He doesn't get around me.
Don't you honestly think that a man who's about to take his wife on a cruise can afford to pay his debts first? Don't you?
Well, yes, I do. Well, what beats me is that... I don't see how Fred can afford to go on a cruise at all. He's always talking about how they can barely make ends meet these days. Where's he getting the money?
Well, I think now is the time to ask him to pay you back. Don't you think so, Aunt Maggie?
Oh, I think I'd better stay out of it.
Well...
However, since you did ask me, yes, I certainly think, Bob, you'd better ask him to pay you back now. If he's borrowing the money from a bank or something, he'd be busy paying that back when he gets home from the cruise.
Well, it certainly is mighty funny.
Now, you call him. You tell me you'd like to see him tonight. Ask him to drop over so you don't have to talk about money in front of Evie.
Oh, what'll I say?
Ask him to pay you back the money he owes you.
Yes, what else would you say, dear?
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly how to put it.
Brief and to the point. You owe me some money, Fred. How about paying it back?
Oh, that's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
But I think you're right. Kind of burns me up. I can't afford to take you on a cruise, yet he borrows money from me.
Right.
And how long has he owed it to me?
Over a year.
Well, he's probably forgotten.
Not Fred.
Going on a cruise. Boy. Yeah, I'll call him.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Peg, Fred's on his way over.
Fine, now don't lose your courage. You just say you owe me money, Fred. How about paying it back, huh? And don't beat around the bush.
I don't know why it is. The person who lends the money always winds up behind the eight ball.
Well, Aunt Maggie and I'll be out in the kitchen doing dishes. Now just take Fred into the den and close the door. Yeah.
There he is. Go on. Get out to the kitchen.
Yeah, and don't let him give you any excuses. I know you not. If he can afford to take Evie on a cruise, he can pay you what he owes you.
Yeah. Well, go on. Get out to the kitchen.
I'm going.
Hi, Fred.
Hi.
Come on in.
How are you, Bob?
Have a nice Thanksgiving?
Well, no, as a matter of fact, we didn't. Evie's sisters were there, and there was a family squabble over something every minute.
Oh, come on in the den. I got a fire going.
And listen, Bob, I know what you're going to say. You heard about my taking Evie on a cruise.
Yes, I did.
And you wonder how I can afford it, and haven't even paid you back what I owe you.
It did cross my mind, frankly, yes.
Well,
yes.
I've just got to get Evie away. She's had a rough year.
Oh,
her father had that terrible accident, and then our Freddie in the hospital with his leg operation.
Yeah.
And then my mother breaking her ankle when she was visiting us.
Oh.
Evie had to wait on her hand and foot.
Yeah, you've had your problems all right.
Well, you know I couldn't afford a cruise. Evie was so good to my mother when she was laid up that... Well, Dad said that he'd pay for the trip. That's how we're going.
Oh, I see. Well, as I said, I admit I wondered. Not that I...
Listen, I don't blame you. It was the first thing I thought of, too. I thought, boy, this is great. I owe Bob money, and here we're taking off on a cruise.
Oh, I understand. I really do.
Well, you know I'm going to pay you back. It's just that, well, lately we've had one thing after another.
Yeah, I know. Well, forget it. Enjoy your cruise.
I don't know if we're going.
What?
Well, Dad made the arrangements and sent the tickets, and I went to the travel bureau today, and since the reservations were made, it's gone up like everything else, and I need to come up with a little more money.
Oh?
Well, I'm not asking you. I'm just telling you the spot I'm in, and why I can't pay back what I already owe you. Just that... I don't know what to do. Evie's so excited. She's so thrilled about the trip. And she needs the trip. She's so tired. She's worn out. I never take her anywhere except maybe on camping trips.
Oh, come on, Fred. Come on. Put yourself together. I'm sure everything will work out all right.
Well, I don't know. I don't see how I can tell Evie now that the trip is off. I just don't see how I can tell her she's not... going, after all.
Now, Fred, I'm sure we can work something out.
Did you give Fred a check?
I didn't say I gave Fred a check. I just told you what he said. He's worried about Evie. She needs to go on a trip, on a cruise.
I need a trip. Everybody could use a cruise.
Well, Fred said
Fred
that he...
Fred said, and you listened. You're always falling for a sob story.
Oh, it wasn't a sob story.
No,
he was telling me facts. He told Evie he was taking her on a cruise for which his father is paying.
Oh. But I bet it wasn't quite enough, and Fred hit you for some more. You gave Fred a check, didn't you? Hmm?
I'm not going to talk about it anymore, and that's final. I'm going in and watch a hockey game.
I heard all that.
Bob is impossible. He has such a soft touch. And Fred will eventually pay him back. But you know, it's just that I mean,
Listen,
I really...
Bob is a nice guy.
Yes, and isn't there a saying, nice guys finish last?
Dear, I know you. You wouldn't want him any other way.
I guess that's true. No, I wouldn't want him any other way.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by the O'Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. So I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Marsh, do you really have to go to Jefferson today, a holiday?
Well, it's just for a short time, Ginger. I'll be back this afternoon.
Can't you get someone to take over for you?
Oh, Ginger, not on a holiday.
Well, have another cup of coffee before you go.
All right, thanks, darling. Where's Betsy?
Oh, she and Cora left early to see the parade.
Oh, yes, yes. Have you said anything to Cora?
No. I don't want her to know. I don't want anyone to know.
Ginger, haven't you thought at all about it?
That's all I have done. If you'd only leave things the way they were.
No, please, just listen. You know that Betsy is our daughter because we love her, and we wanted her.
She shouldn't have to know. She wasn't wanted by the woman who had her.
We don't know that.
She gave her up, didn't she?
Maybe she had no choice.
How could any mother give up a child she'd carried for 9 months and let her be adopted by strangers?
Oh, Ginger.
Well, it's true.
Darling, don't you realize? The strangers are us. If Betsy's mother could have kept her, we wouldn't have her.
Have you ever wondered why Jason never told you about Helen Anthony before you were married?
Oh, maybe because his army life seemed so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Angela, can you chop the celery for the salad?
Oh, sure. I'm glad your Susie settled for an oven-roasted turkey.
When I told her she'd have to turn the bird over every 15 minutes if we used the fireplace, she had second thoughts.
Speaking of fireplaces, I hope we have a good supply of wood. Didn't you know it's freezing out there?
Mm-hmm, we do. Can you see the lake from here?
Well, just barely. And it sure looks like a sheet of ice.
Can you see the children anywhere?
No. Bobby and Susie are off exploring. I think Susie challenged Bobby to a hike around the lake, and Jennifer's with Joe.
Angela.
Hmm?
Have you noticed Jason?
He's awfully quiet. Or tired. I know.
I guess all that work at Brixton is finally catching up with him.
When is Helen Anthony going back to Brixton?
Angela, don't worry about her, will you? That was long ago, and what was between her and Jason was over 20 years ago.
You sure that's not what he's worrying about?
God. A brain tumor. If I could only spare her. She's always been so healthy, so bright. Why you, Emily? Why?
Daddy. Daddy.
Oh, what, honey? I'm sorry.
Guess we're weeping.
I give up. Where?
Oh, your daughter is remarkable, Dr. Carter.
Listen, why don't you call me Jason? At least while we're both off duty.
Well, thank you. I will.
We've been all the way up the mountain.
The mountain?
That very large hill over there.
Oh.
We go out on the lake. Mother said you would know.
No, absolutely not, Jennifer. The ice is only about 1 inch thick in most places.
But it looks all right.
Well, that may be, but looks are deceiving.
Let's go around the lake to meet Bobby and Susie. We'll surprise them.
Oh, Jennifer, I haven't any surprise left in me.
Well, I guess I'll have to do it myself.
Now, Jen, you stick to the trail, and don't forget, dinner in 1 hour.
All right, Daddy.
You certainly have an active, healthy family. I can't keep up with Jennifer.
Yes, they are.
When do you think Dr. Zabel will have an answer for you about Mrs. Carter?
An answer?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I suppose when we get back.
Is that what was worrying you?
No, Joe, that's not what was worrying me.
Maybe they went around the other way. I can't see across the lake. Where's the trail? Oh, there. If I take a shortcut through here. Oh, it's the lake. If I walk on that. Let's see. It looks thick enough. Let me see. Whoops, I guess not. Maybe down further. That looks thicker. Yes. I'll just walk on it here, close to the shore. Hey! Hey! Oh! Help! Help! Help, I'm slipping! Daddy! I can't get out! It's cold! I can't get out! I can't crawl!
Those kids are going to be awfully cold when they get in.
I feel guilty every time I put another log on the fire.
Why, Joe? Do you talk to the trees?
No. I think of all the work Bobby did. I'll have to try it tomorrow.
Well, you better be careful, Joe. Chopping wood is an art.
I think I'll take another look at the festive bird. I'll come with you to admire my handiwork.
No, I'll give her a hand, Angela. Why don't you keep Joe company?
Okay. Joe, you feeling particularly lonesome?
Not lonesome, but a little confused.
Well, what's your problem?
Oh, I had this idea of what a North American Thanksgiving would be like, and...
This is not it?
Not exactly, Angela. I don't mean being up here in the woods, miles from anywhere. No, that part's fine. In fact, it's probably a great chance to appreciate all the things we're thankful for.
You mean all the modern conveniences?
No, I mean family and friends and health and simple comforts.
So? Why are you confused?
Well, there doesn't seem to be much celebration. I don't know why or even why I think it ought to be.
I know, Joe.
Then I'm not imagining it, Angela.
No, you're not. You know, I think a hot cider punch might just put some zip into the party.
Em?
Hmm?
How are you feeling, darling?
Well, I feel fine.
Oh. You took your medicine this morning.
Don't you remember? You gave it to me, Jason.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Oh, darling, what's the matter?
Nothing, dear, really. I just...
Must I remind you that you do not have to put on an act for me?
Now, what does that mean?
It means I think you're tired and let down after all the excitement of Brixton.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And Jason,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to go through life being the strongest tiger in the forest.
Me? A tiger?
Mm-hmm. You're human, darling. And I suppose being with the Anthonys, even seeing Helen again, brought back ideas and dreams of when you were young.
Oh, darling.
Jason, what have I done to deserve that?
Dearest girl.
Oh. You haven't called me that in years.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, there were other nice things, too. It's just that suddenly I realize how time goes. We change and we never notice it.
What's that?
Jason?
It's Angela.
Bobby and Susie just came in.
Yes?
And Jennifer's not with them.
You mean they didn't see her?
No, they're going back over the way they came.
Well, maybe she's on the other side of the lake.
They said they couldn't have missed her.
Oh, Jason, it's so cold out there.
All right, darling. Come on, Joe. We'll go around the other side. She knows the trail. Maybe she just took a side trip and they missed her.
Come on, Emily. Let's you and I start the salad, okay?
Well, don't you think
I think we're going to have a cold, starving bunch of people on our hands very soon, and we'd better be ready for them.
And to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.